Hello and welcome to our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology office hours call for the month of July 2018. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. And I just, as a refresher for those of you who this might be your first call with us, is that these calls are intended to help you to support your clients through whatever they're going through. It's also to help you with questions you might have about content within a program or how to use particular resources or where those resources are, or questions, confusions, clinical stuff. It's also a place where you can share successes. Like, I just got this new client and this is what I'm doing with them. It's your call and it's really geared towards whatever it is that you want to do. Usually we tell people when we send out the reminders that if you have a question and you can't make it to the call, to type it into the Q&A box. So I like to start with that. So I'm going to go to the Q&A box to see if there are any questions there. And there are not. I'm also going to go to the chat and see Susan says she can hear. So the way that it works is you do a *2 on your telephone keypad, and that will raise your hand. If you're on the web, there's some other way to do it off to the side. I don't remember exactly how that is. I think it pulls up this web box. And for me on Firefox, it's actually a separate box. So when I am in, I'm in the InstantHealth seminar and I'm looking at the dashboard, there will be another window that I can open and it says a raise hand. I just checked it and I raised my hand. Yay, I raised my hand. And it'll say raise hand. Beautiful. So I'm going to open up Cynthia's line because she raised her hand and we'll see what I can do to support you. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. So I met a woman this weekend whose son died of a massive heart attack at 31.
Whoa.
And they've diagnosed his condition unbeknownst to anybody in the family or with any, you know, ancestral indicators, with Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome. And it's a defect in the electrical system of the heart. Mm. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. I'd have to go back to my pathology texts, and I'm sure I learned about it at some point, but it's certainly a rare condition. And it's not something that jumps out at me right now. So you said an electrical conduction system. So his electrical conduction in the heart, which keeps it pumping, failed. And so, you know, there's something going on in that piece. It could be a defect structurally in the heart, or it could be something biochemically that's not allowing it to communicate, but I don't know enough about it to know. And is the reason you want to know that because he has siblings and they want to be able to help them?
Well, it's my client is the mama. You know, just dealing with the grief right now. But and you know, he did leave siblings and nephews and nieces. So.
Not direct children.
So with your heart.
I'm looking it up right now, and it looks like it's an abnormal electrical pathway connecting the atria to the ventricles. Oh, where it bypasses the AV node. Let's see. And healthy, so patient with the electrical imbalances arrive at the ventricles too early, disturbing the normal heart rhythm. So it probably wasn't a heart attack that he had. You know, like a true MI in the sense of a blockage in the vascular. It's more of an electrical failure. So some of the symptoms that might denote that they have it, they could have an increased heart rhythm. So I would say, you know, if I were that mom, I would be recommending all my kids have an EKG.
Okay.
Or a echocardiogram to try to figure out, probably an EKG though, to see if there's any problems with that rhythm, you know, and I would say as the mom, siblings, children, you know, I would say at least to, not necessarily the nieces and nephews, you check the parent, right, and see if there's any idea. I don't know whether this is a recessive or a dominant, you know, some of those ways that they're done, that sometimes you only need one of the genes in order to be able to have this thing manifest. In other cases, you need to have the both genes. If that's the case, so that you can look that up. You can just look it up and ask about the, you know, the genetic pattern for it, and then find out is it recessive. In which case, then everybody really needs to be tested. But if it has to be that they got it from both, then we know that mom and dad have both had it, right? In which case, the likelihood of the kids having it is higher. If it is something that can happen with just a recessive, you know, what, just one gene, then wow, you know, there's much wider likelihood of more of those siblings and kids having it and not knowing it. It talks about adenosine, which is a nucleotide.
Where did you choose to look?
I just did a search and it came up.
Okay.
Even where I'm at, the Healthy Heart Rhythm Alliance.org. But
okay.
I just did a search for the name of that disease, and I was going to just scan through and see if I found any information. This seems like it has some good stuff. Adenosine briefly blocks the normal conduction through the AV node, which slows the heart rate and unmasks the EKG changes who have a concealed form. So there's a concealed form and an obvious form. Wow. So I would say, you know, if you really want to support this family, is to read up on this condition and the various ways that it can manifest. And the various ways that it can be detected. Okay, so in this case, it's not just an EKG that they would do, but they'd have to do a challenged EKG where they inject adenosine to see what happens, to detect whether or not that's happening. Says patients diagnosed undergo an electrophysiology study and radio frequency ablation. Curative procedure that will destroy the extra pathway that causes the arrhythmia. But, you know, it's better than dying suddenly, right?
Yeah, to have the challenge, you mean?
Yeah, to have that challenge, and if any of them have it, to, you know, to undergo this particular ablation surgery that would get rid of it. It sounds like it's an actual abnormality, a physical abnormality. But I do some research on it, a little bit more research to discover more about how it's passed on and then how it manifests, how you would detect it, and just give the person, the patient of yours, client of yours, the information so she can make a decision. I would expect that the doctor who, you know, or the facility wherever they autopsied him and figured out what went on, that they would provide some, you know, oftentimes they do, they provide genetic counseling to people in a situation like this, how you can detect if this has been passed on to other relatives and then what to do about it. So those are the things I would go. And obviously she's grieving right now. How horrible. I just can't even imagine. He had just gotten married? Oh, my God. How awful.
Yeah. It's interesting that she's saying he died of a heart attack, and so it makes me curious as to what they're telling her.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. You know? It's not an MI in the typical, you know, myocardial infarction where there's the blood, lack of blood supply to the heart. If this is what they diagnosed, they must have seen something on autopsy that showed this particular electrical defect, in which case it wouldn't be. But maybe, you know how doctors like to dumb things down for patients? Like they just tell them stuff because they don't think they're going to understand or want to know. In this particular case, I would think that they'd want to give as much good information to the family so that they can go from there. I mean, electrical defect is different than a heart attack.
Yes. You know? Well, I thought you'd be an excellent one to ask, and you'll appreciate this, I think, on the pillars. You know, she's so grateful because it sounds funny, but she says I've given her permission to grieve and not be the caretaker of the family. She's total mama bear. Mm. But I said, let's figure out ways where you can, you know, allow yourself to heal and support the family and allow the grieving to come through. And she hadn't, you know, nobody had given her permission to do that. I feel funny saying that I gave her permission. I mean, I just met this woman, but, you know, it's just just beautiful that we can play that role, right?
Absolutely. They don't have that. Medicine doesn't support that. Here's the same thing. Like I don't remember hearing about this condition, but all I did was look it up, read about it, because I understand the underlying anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, which is what I teach you guys in our programs, right? I could come up with a plan for how you could approach this, even though I didn't know what the disease was. And I think that the more you guys learn and the more you can study your modules and really get how the body works, the more you're going to be able to do that. Well, I know I never heard of that condition. Let me look it up. And you look it up and go, oh, well, I can help you with that because it's this and that and the other thing. We can rebalance this and we can help you with that. You know, not to say I can cure you of anything, but I can support you in your diet lifestyle so that you're less likely to have problems from this. Does that make sense? And that's why people say to me, why do you teach these people so many things? Just teach them protocols. Really? That's medicine.
Yeah.
Just for that, right? This condition takes this. No, I want to teach you to think. I want to teach you to think and dig and really get it so you can support people and in their grief going, look, you know, as she pulls out of this, I know, you know, you don't want this to happen to any other of your loved ones. It is genetic. This is what I found out about it. And you can just give her links to articles, but summarize it for her. This is what I found out about it. It's, you know, genetically passed on. It's, you know, it's passed on, has to be from both parents. So therefore you and your husband or his dad both have it. Therefore there's a likelihood of the other kids having it. And here's how you can test them. Right? You can test, I don't even know, you know, gene, if they've identified a specific gene for it, that starts the whole process, right? If there's a gene, then they don't have to go through the EKG. They just have to go through the genetic screening.
Well, there is one, but it says it's present in low numbers, but you know, still it's a less invasive option.
Well, what do you mean? It's genes are easy to test. You know, it's a saliva or a blood swab.
Oh, but it's the one thing I found, and I don't even know who authored this, was that in a small number of the cases, they have the gene.
Oh, I see what you mean. That there's other cases that they don't even have that gene. So that's not likely to be the gene. There's a number of them. And it may be that it's a combination of that with a methylation defect that causes high levels of homocysteine that can affect nerve conduction. I mean, it could be like they haven't identified, like diabetes. There's no one diabetes gene. There's about 50 or so that have been identified that just, you know, consistently build on the risk of that happening. So if that's the case, and it's really hard to do a genetic screen, like hemochromatosis, right? It's a gene. They've identified it. If you have the gene, you have hemochromatosis. If you don't, you don't. You know, it's pretty clear. Cystic fibrosis. There's a very specific gene pattern for cystic fibrosis. But most things aren't that way. Most things, there's contributing genes. So if that's the case, and this is a lethal thing that can happen at any time to a seemingly healthy person, then a more invasive look might be okay, right? If I could say, look, you might have this thing and we can do this process to prevent you, you know, okay, let's test it. Let's check it out. Let me check my kids if there's a likelihood of that, even though I'm not for invasive medicine. But I would do some exhaustive research on it.
Well, this woman is reinventing herself at 61 and she's come out of conventional medicine. So I think I'm going to give her my affiliate link to your programs. She's a dynamo. Yeah.
If it wasn't for the timing right now, I'd say send her to our genes, your diet, and your health that's happening over the weekend, because it's going to be a great opportunity to introduce people to what we can do for them.
Yeah.
And if you're not on it, it may be that, you know, you can do that with just getting her to get the videos after the fact. So.
The Shine, you mean? The Shine event?
No. This weekend, we're doing a 2-day online live stream event. We have like almost 600 people signed up for it already. And they paid like $97. Some of them got an early bird discount and got it for $47. But it's a 2-day packed event where I'm going to go through and teach them what are some of the genetic patterns that can influence what you should be eating. How can you eat? How can you put together a customized lifestyle plan? So I'm going to be doing that for 2 days from my home. We're all set up. It's the first time we're doing it, so we're setting up the technology to be able to do it. and I can share with you guys how it works out if you ever want to do that. But we're doing that, and then we're going to offer them to join us for our ERC energy recharge coaching program, which is going to be starting up again real soon. And it's a year-long program. We take 50 max in that program at any point in time when we open it. We already have like 18 pre-signed up. So we have about 32 slots left in it, and we're going to offer it to the almost 600 people that signed up for this. So we're going to see how it works. But it's a great – that just the weekend in and of itself, whether they move on with us or not. I always like to provide value that gives people amazing stuff, and then if they want to go deeper, they can. But if they don't, their lives have been changed and their lives have been touched, right? So anyway, that's happening.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm not sure how I missed that, but I know Lynn's participating. So this PRK
– we sent you guys a free – ticket to it. All you guys in NEPT got a link to a free ticket in it. If not, I mean, you should have. So a link can give you that link. It's just a thing you fill out. And then anybody that's not in NEPT would pay the $97, but it's a two-day event. You're going to get all the videos afterwards. It's like the steal of the century. And you would go to find out more about it. You go to foodandgenes.com.
Well, you are so amazing. Let me just tell you before we move it on, if I could, the PRKAG2 gene, protein kinase AMP activated non-catalytic subunit gamma 2. Are you familiar with that one?
I'm sure I've seen it in my travels, and I'd have to, like, look at the context. I could probably read a little bit about it. Go, oh, yeah, I know what that one is, but... what about that? Is that one that's associated with this thing?
Yeah. It says it provides instructions for making one part, the gamma 2 subunit, of a larger enzyme called AMP activated protein kinase.
Yes.
This enzyme helps sense and respond to energy demands within cells.
Yeah.
It's active in many different tissues, including heart. The AMP-activated protein kinase is likely involved in the development of the heart before birth, although its role in this process is unknown. So
it's the kind of thing that if you know one of the genes, right, and you look it up in the person, you can see if they have that gene, and you can look at the raw data, or I don't even know if that one shows up. I've never seen it on MTHFR support report, but it could be in the raw data. You could look it up.
Yeah.
Oh, this person has this, therefore they're at really high risk of this disease. We better get them tested. But the problem is if they don't have it, then you really don't know. And, you know, and that's the danger in something like this, where it's not like, you know, hemochromatosis, where you're going to find out before you die from hemochromatosis, suddenly your ferritins are going to go up and, you know, and that sort of thing. So there's certain things that you'd want to do more invasive testing to find out if you have it, because it can be the silent killer.
Yeah. Well, what do you do? Yeah. So it's interesting because she grew up, or she raised her children, my client, in Napa. Mm-hmm. And we know how toxic those agricultural lands and grape growing and all of that is, which is so unfortunate.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though, right? When we're looking at conditions, we're looking at there's some that are structural congenital defects in the body that probably aren't going to respond real well to dietary interventions. Sure, you can support the whole rest of the body around that, and not saying that dietary interventions aren't always a good thing to do for everybody, no matter what, because it can always improve the quality of life. But if there is an actual structural defect, then a lot of times really repairing that, right, that structural defect. One of my nieces was born with a hole between the ventricles, right, ventricular septal defect. That's not going to get healed from breastfeeding, which is the only thing you can do at that point, right? That's not going to get healed by any vitamins or minerals or anything like that. That needed surgical repair. And they held off for as long as they could, monitoring or watching her to the point where, but they knew as soon as she became like a crawler or a walker, that it was going to impact her. But this little baby laying in the crib, you just watched, right? And they did do surgery on her before she turned a year old. And now she's 37. She just had a baby of her own and everything's fine.
Nice.
Right? So that was a life-saving process. And a friend of ours had something like that too, where their son was born that way and they had to have surgery very young. Right? And that would be life-threatening if they let that go. She probably wouldn't have made it out of toddlerhood.
Yes. Right?
If they fed her the best diet ever and, you know, stress reduction and no EMFs and non-toxic home, you know, no matter what, that would not have repaired her heart deficit. So these are things that we need to be aware of, that there's limitations to what we do. Not that somebody mentions a disease and you look it up and it looks serious and you go, no, I can't help you with that. But no, we want to support your body as best we can. And that's how I can support you. We're going to identify imbalances. We're going to nurture you. We're going to feed you. And it's not just the food. It's the love. It's the environment. It's everything. And help support that person to make the best of it. But if there's a structural defect like that, that could be life-threatening, that's the time to have that surgery, right? Or do that procedure to help that person to stay alive, and reach their
adulthood.
So that's the stuff that I feel strongly about, right? That not everything can be cured from diet and lifestyle, but mostly, most of it can. All the functional type diseases, all those things, which most of the diseases are, the itises and the, you know, the inflammatory stuff like that, it mostly can be helped. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Great. Well.
And let me just interject one more thing there. Not to say that had this kid been on a really strict diet regime, you know, an exercise regime, and was maintaining proper blood sugar levels, and everything was perfect, maybe this could have been prevented. We don't know. But I wouldn't take that chance if we see a structural or conductive defect that could be fixed, that there's no evidence, there's no case studies for it ever having been fixed before with nutrients, or it doesn't even make sense that how am I going to heal this hole in the heart or the, you know, this extra conductive thing. Anyway, that's just my feeling about it. So I would say if I were that mom, after my grieving process, I would be researching like crazy everything I could find out about this. So you can support her by providing some of that information that you can find about how it's passed on, about what's the likelihood of my other. I'd be asking the doctors. I would be asking, we're doing the research in Medline to find out everything I could to help the other kids and the survivors to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Excellent. Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're very welcome.
I'll keep posted.
Keep us posted. I want to, you know, it's got me curious. I have a thing pulled up on it, but, you know, those rare.
Well, just the name of it, Wolf, Parkinson, White. I mean, is that three ego-driven doctors that
probably
identified and had it named after themselves? So,
who added their names to it, like Hashimoto's and, you know, Graves and all that kind of stuff that people, I personally wouldn't want a disease named after me. I'd want a healing process named after me, a healing modality named after me, but don't create a Lascalzo's disease or Rita Marie disease. I don't want that passed on in my legacy.
Not electrical malfunction to be,
No. All right.
Thank you for
sparking that.
The seven pillars, though. I mean, with something like this, that makes that even more important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If somebody has a genetic tendency, that's fine for me. When you look at my genes, I have a tendency towards anxiety and depression. I have a tendency towards celiac disease. I have a tendency towards diabetes and probably a gazillion other things I can't even remember. But those are main. Like, I take that very seriously, my seven pillars, right? Yeah, even my sleep lately, although last night I don't take that one quite as seriously because I always feel like I could make up for it, but I'm wrong. Because I've been.
I know you.
I've been noting my blood sugars are erratic the days after I don't get enough sleep.
Well, on that note, can I just tell you that when we started together, my A1C was 5.5.
Yeah.
And then I went to Costco and had a free A1C test done, and it was 4.5. And
whoa.
This is like, yeah, which I asked the lady how accurate her meter was, because they are, you know, little meters, and she said they were highly accurate.
Yeah.
But boy, Rita Marie, I mean, that's quite a shift in probably 5 months.
That's awesome. That means that your average blood glucose jumped down from about 117, 119. Your average blood glucose was 117, 119 at 5.5, down to 85.
So, but that's still below optimal range, right?
I think optimal range ideally is 4.5 to 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and can I put a plug in for folks checking Costco and their pharmacy specials? And I'll post this on the INE site, but I know not everybody here is there, but I encourage everybody, whether you're a Costco member.
Everybody in this group on this call has access to that Facebook group. Yeah.
Okay. Because Costco does these in-house wellness events that are free to the public or to members.
Wow.
And yes, and they vary by month. I'll post the link that I found on the Facebook page.
Yeah, too.
But awesome. I got a new client out of it.
You got a free hemoglobin A1C out of it, you said. Is that right?
Yes. And I got a new client, because I had just spoken to her 2 days before. I said, get your Fanny over to Costco. And hers is 5.6, and she has hyperpigmentation. Have you looked at that associated with insulin resistance or blood sugar?
Yeah, it can be associated with insulin resistance, also gluten intolerance.
Yeah, which she's got Hashimoto's, so.
Yeah, so that's perfect. So this is great, because not only did you send her over and she found that hers was high, you went and said, look, mine was where yours is now. 5 months ago, and now it's here, and I can help share with you and teach you what I did.
Yeah, and, you know, the autoimmunity is not a motivator for her, but her son's getting married in the spring, and she wants her skin cleared up. So that's her motivator. And, you know, I feel like my low-hanging fruit access point is on this blood sugar and insulin stuff, as opposed to the autoimmunity. But you know, it all goes hand in hand, right?
It all goes hand in hand. And autoimmunity contributes to the blood sugar, which then contributes to, and they back and forth. You can't heal one without healing the other, really. But here's the thing. I would do a little bit of a research on her particular condition, skin conditions, just skin conditions and gluten intolerance, skin conditions and insulin resistance. You know, can just see if you can find some medical literature, because a lot of times that's what people need when they aren't motivated to just change on their own, and they go, oh, look at that, that's related. So if you found that linchpin, that skin is her thing. Some people, it's their hair. They won't do anything until their hair starts falling out, and then they'll listen, because they don't want their hair to fall out, you know? So it's a lot of times the vanity thing. We have to press the vanity button, and it's mostly on females, unfortunately. Most males are not as vanity-driven. They're more function-driven, you know, stamina, strength. But, I mean, that's a stereotype I probably shouldn't say, but I would say
she's not going to be able to fix her skin overnight, I'm afraid.
No. You know, if it was an eczema type of thing, or if it was a rash, oftentimes it can heal within a couple of weeks. But when it's hyperpigmentation, it takes a lot longer.
Well, and it was brown, and now it's turning white, which is curious to me.
All right. Well, I see some other hands coming up, but thank you for your question, Cynthia. It's great.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome. Bye. All right. Ala. Hi, Ala.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Where are you from? Doesn't show.
I'm from Florida.
Florida. Great.
Yes. I'm in IRS PT program here, and I have a question about my personal health issues.
That's fine.
What would you do with a patient like me? I'm not overweight. I'm very skinny. I actually have problems gaining weight. My blood sugar, even though it's elevated, but I think it's more cortisol problem because it's a Down syndrome. I wake up with high blood sugar and that actually goes down. And if I'm not, if I don't eat carbs, my blood sugar stays normal. As soon as I eat some carbs, like rice or butternut squash or whatever, it goes up. So it's
how much different than
people with a weight problem.
Here's the thing. You don't have to have a weight problem to have insulin resistance. Tell me how high your blood sugar goes with the rice and squash.
It goes up to 234.
Oh, okay. And then how about, what is it in the morning when you wake up?
In the morning, it's 106, 108.
Okay. And then does it ever get below 106 or 108 throughout the day in between meals?
Yeah, like in an hour, it goes down to 96, then it goes to 89. So it's kind of hanging there.
Okay.
And if I, follow the diet, it actually goes to 80. So it's as soon as I'm off the diet, it immediately shows up.
Okay. So it's clear that you need to be avoiding these things, at least temporarily, that your body's producing way too much insulin. And it's not getting effective, so the sugar is just staying really high, okay? It's not so clear that you're producing that much insulin, but, it is going down, so probably. Here's the thing. So you have a high metabolic rate, and you can't eat carbs, and you're wondering, how do I keep up my weight on, right? How do I gain weight?
So if I eat the bone broth, I actually keep my weight really. It actually, I gain so much weight in 6 months, I actually get scared sometimes. So
you do gain weight.
Yeah.
So what's the problem then? What's the problem here? I'm not sure I'm clear on the problem.
The problem is I have such a horrible stomach ache, I can't sleep. and it goes off out of blue. It just can all of a sudden wake up with a stomach ache. Or I, in the middle of the night, it wakes me up with a stomach ache.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is it used to be when I drink water, I am burping. So it shouldn't be, so much gas in my stomach that it creates a burping problem.
Yeah. So I'm gonna walk you through how I would go through and try to figure out what's going on here. You said to me that if you stay on the diet, meaning the sweet spot diet, the insulin resistance diet.
No, I tried the diet and actually it creates so much problem. I had to drop it as soon as possible.
Kind of problem?
When I started sweet spot solution, I was in remission, so I didn't have that excruciating stomach ache. So if I keep everything in normal, I don't have pain. So I started introducing the green smoothies and raw stuff, and it set me off so hugely that I was in such a pain I couldn't take it.
Okay.
So I don't know.
It looks like you have some gut issues. It
yeah.
sounds like you have
yeah.
some inflammation and
yeah.
irritability of the lining of your gut. Most likely some leaky gut. So what were you eating before you started Sweet Spot?
I ate bone broth with the cooked vegetables, onions, garlic, cauliflower. It agrees with me greatly. Any cabbage family is really good for me. But as soon as I go a little bit further, like butternut squash, it immediately creates a heartburn. So whatever, no carb. Vegetables cooked agrees with me, and sometimes I sneak some kale in my in my soup. I actually puree the soup, so there is no particles.
Okay.
It's kind of a baby food, I call it. I eat baby food.
Okay, great. So here's the thing: you found something that helps you, and that keeps your blood sugar steady. Do you get the jumps in your blood sugar when you eat that way without the starches?
No, it doesn't jump, but it doesn't go to 80. It keeps 96, 98. So
right, but it doesn't do the jumping to 234.
No.
Okay. And when you're doing that, is it still high and the morning when you wake up?
Yes.
The 106, 108?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, and then after you drink this broth, do you measure it how high it goes? Like, what's the peak?
Oh, I actually didn't measure it exactly, but I don't remember, but I think I measure it and it's 98.
Okay. So I would, here's what I would do. I would do a 3-day plan where you're just going to go back and eat the broths, and steamed vegetables. It doesn't always have to be broth. Just, I ran out of water here. Sorry. Give me 1 second. There we go. I found another glass. All right. So you do a 3-day broth only, or, you know, just the cooked vegetables. If you feel like blending is the best, that's great. Mm-hmm. And, but you measure everything.
Mm-hmm.
You measure the way we teach you at the, you know, to catch
yep.
the peak and see where it goes. If there's any foods that you're eating during that time or any of the meals that cause it to go up above 110, then you're going to analyze that meal and see which of those foods caused it to go above. And then you're going to just remove that. And then I would love to see you do a 30-day of no cooked food, I mean, no raw food, to let that heal. But also look at healing your gut. You need to do a gut healing protocol. Maybe you have some overgrowth. It sounds like you might have SIBO. It's you're producing too much gas as a result of things. You've
yes.
got to stay away from it. So it wasn't the low glycemic diet that caused you to have
yes.
a problem. It was the huge amount of raw
yes.
veggies that you're taking in a green smoothie. A lot of people can't take that when the gut is a mess.
Yep.
So you're going to have to work on healing that gut.
Yep.
But in the meantime, you cannot eat grains if they're shooting your sugar up to 234.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
No, I haven't been eating grains like for years. No, I just wanted to add some kind of carbs and see.
Right, so any carbs, you want to make sure you keep your numbers within that range.
Yes.
Right? And whatever it takes, maybe you're down to eating 4 foods for a month. Whatever it takes to heal it. But really look at your gut and look at the gut protocols. We teach them all in the CMDS, the Clinical Mastery of the Digestive System, or the GRAND for the consumers program.
When I signed for Sweet Spot, I realized that I don't have problem with sugar. I think the sugar is the secondary of my gut problem. I asked if I can switch it, but they told me that it's the same protocol. So I really think I should do that deep, like elimination, and not just the food. The food is not enough, because with the food, I put myself in a remission, but I don't want the remission. I want the healing.
You want to heal, but you do
yeah.
have a blood. You do have a blood sugar problem. You have both problems, and they
yeah.
go hand in hand. Yeah, you may have to heal the gut before you heal the blood
yeah.
sugar.
Yeah.
But if you're going up to 234 when you eat starchy foods, you have a blood sugar problem,
yeah.
and it needs to be dealt with. Yeah.
yeah.
So I think you need both.
Yes, I need both, but I have to. I think I have to start. I thought I would start with sugar and then go to gut, because guts were in remission when I started it, but apparently I activate my gut problem.
You activate it, and you can back that up by just going back to the diet
yeah.
that it takes, just eliminating the starches because they make the sugar go up.
The thing is, I still think that if for 3 years I kept it in remission, I didn't eliminate the problem. I have to find what's the problem, what causes this problem.
Right.
I keep the fire down, but I don't eliminate the fire.
But you
so
didn't eliminate it.
Yeah. What were your steps? What do I have to test? I saw all steps on your website, but now you don't have it from Great Plains anymore. The old test, the organic test.
It should be on there. We never took it down.
Yeah. I can't find that from Great Plains. I wanted the Great Plains.
Yeah, it's on our website. If you click on our link to the, and when you sign into Sweet Spot over, there should be a box that says lab testing. If not, we'll just give you the link. I think if you go to, used to be drritamarie.com says
yeah.
lab testing.
I but saw it, and now I looked through old tests, and I didn't find the old from Great Plains.
All right, reach out to Lynn to get the
okay.
link. To that page.
I'll
we still offer that test through Great Plains, so you can definitely get that tested.
Okay.
The other would be a stool test.
Yes,
right.
That's what, but you have stool tests from Genova, and Genova discredited itself a long time ago.
I don't like Genova, and I don't have the stool test from Genova. I do the stool test from Doctor's Data, and it's on
my.
Oh,
from Doctor's Excellent. Yeah,
I don't know what you mean by discredited themselves. That may be something totally different, but I like the one from Doctor's Data the best.
Yeah, Doctor's Data, I like it too. So what would you, with my stomach problem, what else would you do? Oats and GI test, GI mapping?
I haven't done much of the GI mappings. I think I would start with oat and the stool test.
Oh, just stool test.
The full one from Doctor's Data, which is the parasite. It includes the parasite times three and the full chemistries with the sensitivities.
Okay. And does it do the H. pylori there in?
It does not. My favorite for H. pylori is you can just do a single H. pylori test from BioHealth.
Also on your website?
Also on the site, yes. That's my favorite H. pylori.
Okay. I have one more question.
Okay.
My urine is very clear, which if I don't drink, it's even clearer than if I drink water. So what is the problem?
Wait. Don't drink? You're saying if you don't drink, it's clearer than if you drink?
We're in Florida, I keep track, I drink a lot of water, I drink a gallon of water at least a day. So, and it's very, straw color. So it doesn't have pigments. And I can't find online any information on urine has no pigments.
Well, you don't have no pigment if you're overhydrated or you're well hydrated.
Yeah, but if I don't drink water, it's even paler.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before.
That
sounds
weird.
Like you need a full functional evaluation to see what's going on in your system. But a gallon of water, what do you weigh? You said you're very skinny. How much do you weigh?
I have heavy bones. I'm 125, so I'm not that bad.
125? So you should be drinking a half gallon of water a day, not a gallon. I mean, a gallon of water can be diluting things in your system. That can
but
be
I'm
a problem.
In Florida. We sweat a lot. It's very hot.
Well, if you're sweating a lot, so it's half your body weight plus an extra 8 ounces for every 15 minutes you're out sweating.
So 120, it's 600.
I would say probably 80 to 100. Ounces a day would be more if you're sweating a lot.
So 100
80 to 100 if you're sweating a lot.
80 to 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But it sounds like you need we have 2 minutes together here. When I work with people to try to get to the underlying root of what's going on, I have them fill out, a 6 or 8 page questionnaire, and then I spend an hour and a half talking to them and asking tons of questions. We don't have time to do that with every person in this program. It's not part of this program, but you certainly can reach out to Lynn if that's something that you would want to do to help fix your problems, is to have them set up a time to talk to one of our coaches. And we have a couple that are really, really, really good at going through labs and figuring out these kind of challenging cases.
Okay. I'm a challenging case. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time and your knowledge that you share with us.
Very welcome, Ala. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So next we have Susan L., and then we have Cheryl. So Susan. Hi, Susan.
Ah.
You there? Hello? Susan, I hear you, but I can't hear you. I hear like a clicking around. No? All right, I'm going to go to Cheryl, and I'll leave your line open, and when you're ready, I'll open you back up. Cheryl.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
I am in your insulin-resistant program, and I don't have this person as a client, but I am trying to help him through a friend, and I'm trying to figure out the long-term use of the insulin drug Trulicity. So do you know what Trulicity is?
I've seen it advertised, and I don't know the exact mechanism. Let me look it up. I don't know if it's
So it's a shot that they give them. I think it's once or twice a week. And apparently it increases their insulin. So that way their blood sugar goes down.
One person, is that correct? Somebody with type 1 diabetes?
No, type 2.
All right, so anything that insulin increases insulin in a type 2 diabetic could be a serious problem to make the problem worse, right?
Type 2 insulin resistance. So this person just started Trulicity, and they feel really great, and their blood sugar is really low, and their diabetic counselor is happy with their numbers, and now this person is eating more and more junk food because they have fabulous blood sugar levels.
American approach to health, which kills people.
But what, like, in the long term, they're not going to have good blood sugar levels anymore, are they? Like, how does this?
Well, I don't know how do they actually work. So, first of all, right, you want to know if a person is overproducing insulin. So the first thing I would have done before recommended this person, if they were even thinking about it, is to test their insulin levels. What's your fasting insulin? What's your postprandial? If they have good levels of insulin, then adding more insulin, yeah, it might help to go over the edge, right, and get the blood sugar down, because that's what happens. You just, once it reaches a certain threshold, then everything gets stored as fat. Is this person gaining weight?
Just recently, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So he was losing weight when he started, and then he had to up his Trulicity, and now
he'll just keep having to up his Trulicity. He'll keep gaining weight. He'll get sicker and sicker, and he'll drop dead of something unless he changes it, right? So this is not a good thing. First of all, if you are going to try to either put somebody on insulin or give them a drug that increases insulin, you have to determine beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are not making enough. They should have done a C-peptide test to see how much insulin the person's making. They should have done a fasting and a postprandial, at least minimally a fasting insulin to determine. If a person's type 2, the only reason they end up with low insulin is because their pancreas gets worn out. Why does their pancreas get worn out? Well, because it's overworking for so many years, but also because every time the blood sugar goes above 100, it does a little bit of damage to those beta cells. And chances are good his sugars were way above 100, I'm sure, most of the time above 100, because that's the nature.
Oh, yeah. It was in the 300s, and all of a sudden it was in the, 100s. And
so the determination in when a type 2 diabetic crosses into needing more insulin is you have to run some tests. You have to run a C-peptide to see how much insulin the pancreas is producing. You have to run a fasting insulin to see how much they're actually producing.
Right. If I had this person, yes, this is what I would do.
That's what you would have done, right? Yeah.
But they go to these diabetic people through their doctor, and this is, their doctor is prescribing this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so not good. But then there's got to be, everything looks great at first, but there's got to be horrible repercussions or lab tests down the road.
Absolutely. Tell them to get his fasting insulin measured. Just the fact that they're on insulin, insulin is damaging, right? It damages the blood vessel linings. It damages the retinas. And if he's on top of it, he's eating all this crap, right? Just like insulin, you've got to be consistent in the diet to know what the right dose is. And if this Trulicity is given a couple of times a week, then it's less controllable than even like long-acting insulin. Because, people on insulin, the ideal when people are on insulin because they have type 1 diabetes and their pancreas can't produce, is that they're controlling the insulin to get the least possible amount to get them balanced, which means they have to be super careful of the diet and exercise. And so it's dangerous what he's doing.
It is going to show up in the long run. That's what I thought. I'm like, this cannot be good.
In the short run, have him keep his lipids, test his lipids. How is his lipid panel look? If you do what we know how to do to really heal the body from this, you're going to see his lipid panels getting better and better. You're going to see his glucose numbers getting better and better. You're going to see his A1C getting better and better. Now, if he's keeping his blood sugars in a good range at this point, then sure, he's going to have a better A1C. But that's just one marker. That's the stick in your head in the sand. Measure TSH for thyroid and know that the person's fine. No, wrong. Measure A1C or fasting insulin, glucose, and think the person's fine. No, right? So we really need to look at it. And usually they say, oh, your A1C is 7, it's good. No.
No.
It's not. Right?
Right.
So, yeah. And it sounds like this person just likes to use that as a license to eat whatever the hell he wants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So and I would say, if you're trying to help this person as a friend or a friend of a friend,
mm-hmm.
you're not, you need to say, look, these are the issues. I'd be happy to work with you. Here's my fees.
Okay.
Because if they're not paying you, they're not going to listen to you.
Right. Then how is the, if the Trulicity increases the insulin, what does the metformin in the long run do?
Metformin actually does better than I, because it doesn't increase the insulin. It actually does some mechanism of actually increasing insulin sensitivity, and it works with the liver. And I'd have to look it up again. Let me look
that's
it up.
What I thought. And then that's why I was wondering, what was the difference between the berberine and the metformin?
Very little. I mean, well, berberine is, yeah, metformin has some side effects because it's a pharmacological and it, you
right.
know, very specifically mm-hmm. targeting. Berberine just happens to supply all sorts of antioxidants, and it can be antimicrobial, so it helps to keep the gut balanced, and it seems to be selective for pathogens and won't disrupt normal flora, and it helps with insulin resistance. That's the difference. In studies that pit metformin against berberine, actually metformin does worse than berberine.
Right. Okay.
Berberine does better. So let me see. Articles for the mechanism of action. Let me see what it exactly does. I have to review these things. Mechanism of very complex, still not fully understood. Physiologically, it has been shown to reduce hepatic glucose production. Right? So it's actually not increasing the sensitivity. It just reduces the liver from producing glucose.
Okay.
Back to that AMP, cyclic AMP, AMPK. It involves mitochondria. It's mainly on the liver.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that helps a lot. I know that is a terrible drug, so I can definitely...
Yeah, this Trulicity, whenever I sit down with my husband, he'll be watching a ball game and this commercials come on. All the commercials that come on are for these diabetic stuff, right? And I sit there and cringe and it's like, no!
Oh,
no!
Me too. Yes, thanks to you. Oh. Me too. Yeah. Okay.
And the other commercials are for the beer and the junk food, right? We got the cure. We got the cost. We got the cure. Don't take charge of your life. Just do what we tell you to do, and we have the drug to take care of you when you get messed up.
Oh, yeah.
They have to want to heal. They have to have it. So it's really appealing to, like, a lot of times when you get them to understand the side effects, the long-term effects, and sometimes, you know, pulling up Medline articles for some folks because they want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, I didn't know that. My doctor didn't tell me that, you know. And then when they go back to the doctor and say, hey, this is what's going on, and this is what I read about, they'll go, oh, yeah, but you don't have to worry about that.
All right. That was very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for a good question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. We have Eva. Hi, Eva.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How can I support you today?
I have a question about registration for SHINE. My older daughter is getting married that weekend, so I won't be able to attend again this year. But last year, Lynn just told me a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, I cannot believe that. So, but I can't miss my firstborn's wedding. So,
of course not.
I know. So my question is, I know there is a link that I found for the registration. Do you still want me to go ahead and register as though I'm coming so I get the ability to watch it online? I'm not sure how I should do that so it doesn't mess up the headcount for you.
No, don't register. Don't register.
Okay.
If we decide to do a live stream of it, we'll let you know. But usually we make that decision. You know, we have to get bids and we find out, is it worth it? And, you know, how much will it cost and all that. So we haven't made that decision yet. So usually we make it as it gets closer. So if we make it, we'll just send it out to you and we'll get you to, you know, give you a special rate for it.
Okay, great. Thank you, because I would love to watch it afterwards. I'm really excited about the information that you guys are putting out. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, remember, you get access to all of the recordings of all the
right.
So, yeah, but don't worry about it.
Right. And my second question is, I know I took a sabbatical because I had just crazy life for the last 6 months to 8 months. So I'm back. I'm trying to get back into the routine of everything.
Yeah.
And I know that my module stopped after the first, you know, I haven't finished them. So it's not like I need them. But I know then I paid for the whole entire program.
Yeah.
So, but none of it has been open, like any of the testing modules. So do
oh,
I
so need how it works. You finish a module and then you pass the test and then it opens the next module.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
Yep.
That's what I needed. Thank
so
you so
pick
much.
Pick up where you left off and you'll have the whole thing done before you know it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. I see Susan's still here. I don't see your hand up anymore, but I'll open you and see if you still have a question. Susan? Susan L? Huh. I mean, are you? Whoops. I hear you. I hear something. Lynn?
Do you hear Lynn? Do you hear me?
I hear you, Lynn.
Okay. Well, because I'm on with Instant Teleseminar, we can't seem to unmute or it's really strange because when you click on the mute, unmute button, it doesn't let us. And so she's having a hard time. But you're hearing me, so I don't know. Then it must
I hear
be something.
You, no problem. I see her hand. I saw her hand up, and I right now it shows she's unmuted. It doesn't show for you that she's unmuted?
Well, no, on the web call box, so I have my own web call box on my page, and so if I tried to click the mute, unmute button, it's not letting me.
Oh, but it showed up because I saw you unmuted yourself.
Yeah, well, I unmuted myself to see if you could hear me, so the
Yeah. Yeah, she's unmuted, and I did hear some sounds coming from her end when I unmuted her. I heard like a grr. So I don't know.
Okay.
I would
say she sent your question via Q.
Say it again.
She said she sent her question via Q.
Via the chat or the Q&A? Oh, Q&A. Okay, got it. Yeah, Q&A. You're kind of bubbling in and out, but I do hear you. So I'll do that, and then Susan, if you could stay on and listen, I'll answer your question. And if you still have more, go ahead and get out, and then come back in again. It may come in with a cleaner line, but I'm seeing it no problem. So I don't know, maybe. All right, let me see. Susan, refresh. All right, there it is, Susan. I can't unmute. Here's my question about me. According to my Dutch, my cortisol is running just barely above the low limit in the free cortisol graph and free cortisone graph. So when I'm addressing this, what Band-Aid, yes, I know, can I implement to be productive in the morning hours? My cortisol is good in the afternoon. I feel good then, too. Mornings have been rough, and I want coffee. I'm assuming that the cafe program will get me the info I need. Yeah, absolutely. And I would say let's see what kind of an elixir you can make with some of this stuff. If you don't have problems with blood pressure, licorice root can be really amazing. You can get a tincture of licorice root from Biomatrix, or you can get powdered licorice root from Mountain Rose. You can make a little elixir in the morning where you have some ashwagandha, some licorice root, maybe some tulsi, even ginseng if you want to try, just experiment with some of that. And the cafe will show you, you know, any of the herbs that are listed as phase 3 adrenal would be the ones that would bring you up. Doesn't mean that you are a stage 3 if your numbers are good the rest of the day, but we always look at the graphs in terms of adjusting for what stage you are at a specific point in time. So if you're a stage 1, you're at the bottom in the morning to bring yourself up, I would support yourself with an adaptogenic and more stimulating type thing in the morning. I'd also be looking at your B vitamins. Sometimes taking a good dose of B12 in the morning can help bring that energy up. Give you more energy for your cellular metabolism. So those are the ways I would start, but definitely going into cafe and looking at, and actually in the last piece, like it's part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think, and it's at least in part 4 or 5, there's an herbal chart that has all the different herbs listed and the indications for them and which stage of adrenal fatigue they tend to work best in. So that's what I would recommend. All right. So who's here? And Susan, I still have you open, so I don't hear anything. I'm going to close you and then open you again. It's weird. Very weird. All right. Anybody else? Questions or comments? I'm going to look at the chat to see if there's anything coming through over there while you guys do a star two to raise your hand. Okay. Okay, talking about a Costco, Lynn put up the lab testing page for the oat test. Let's see. Okay, so sounds good. If you have any more questions, Susan, you can give it a try again. I see San Antonio. That must be Louisa. It says Advanced Eye Care. Hi there.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can, just fine.
Okay, great. Yes, I'm at work, but I've been listening. I have a question.
Sure.
I've been trying to take less supplements. So I do take an enzyme that is called Digest Gold before every meal, but for about 3 months, I was taking from one of the webinars. I got a protease enzyme, and now all of a sudden, I'm getting symptoms after I eat basically the same food that I was eating. I'm getting digestive symptoms. So does that mean that I should go back to the protease enzymes, or what is the benefit of a protease enzyme?
Okay, so you were taking Digest Gold and protease? Is that correct?
Yes.
You're taking
That's
both,
correct.
And then you stopped the protease.
I finished it after 3 months, and I thought, well, maybe I don't need this anymore. I did not know if it was helping. But, wow, some of my symptoms are coming back. Like I will eat lunch, and now here I'll feel a lot of rumbling in my stomach, and I used to not feel any of that. So I do not know if that has anything to do. I don't know if I need to start the protease enzymes again.
Yeah, it sounds like it was helping. I mean, it helps to digest protein, obviously, right? Protease. So there's probably some protease. There might be some in the LipoGold, but not a lot. I would go back anytime something like that happens where you, stop something suddenly and then you get symptoms back. I would always put it back in and see if the symptoms then go away to see if it was just maybe something that was, coincidental or if it seemed to be related. If that's the case, then you obviously need it. So you're probably not producing enough stomach acid and maybe not enough the protease, but the protease would help if you were not doing enough stomach acid as well. So you might want to look at the bitters as a way to stimulate it and look at your zinc status. How much zinc do you take? If you don't take any, you might need a little bit of extra to get that pump going.
Okay. Now, another thing that happened coincidentally with that was with probiotics that I stopped I finished a probiotic and I went to the custom probiotics, and then I thought, well, maybe I still need some of the other probiotics. So I restarted the previous probiotic, and that didn't help. So it's got to be the enzyme now. Those were the only two things I had changed.
Yeah. So whenever that's the case, I mean, you can't rule it out completely, but it does sound like that's more likely to be it. So add the protease back. Give it a few days to a week to just see if it settles back down again. If it doesn't, then look to see what you can change back with the probiotics. But it sounds to me more like it's the protease.
Okay. Great. Now, This one is not a question. It's just I need to figure out how to let Lynn know. In the IRSC module, I finish the modules, and then I'm supposed to do the last thing on the marketing and something. I forgot what it's called. But it doesn't give me access.
To the marketing program, the marketing module?
No, whatever. The one that comes after the implementation module, it's not giving me access. And I got an email saying, to give me instructions of, well, now you need to do this module, but when I try to open it, it won't open.
All right.
I don't have access.
Did you write into our support desk, and we'll pass it on to our web guy, because I don't know,
okay.
You know, without going and digging in the bowels of that, I don't know what the problem could be. But
okay. This is Lynn, and they reached out for mentioning that. Because there was somebody else, actually, I think it was Cheryl, who was on the call earlier yesterday, mentioned she had the same issue. And I had been talking to one of the team members, and he thinks he has hers fixed. But this helps to know that you're having the same issue, so I'll let him know that.
Well, look to see if it's still happening, because maybe if he fixed hers. Still happening?
No, it's still happening as of about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Right before I got on this call, and then I read a response. I got an automated response that told me you might have faster access to Dr. Rita Marie or other. That's what they said, and I said, well, since I'm going to be on this call, I guess that's what they meant, the faster access.
Oh, I don't know. That's kind of interesting.
So I'm looking at this, right?
So module 9 is the education and marketing one. Is that the one that you're
having
trouble
with?
Module 8.
I finished module 8. And
so it's module 9 you're having trouble with opening.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now.
Thank you.
All right, I'm looking at that right now to see if there's some weird tagging issue with it. And when you says,
well, and I've got, he said that there was a.
Oh, it's wrong. It's set up wrong. It says, wait, redirect. Who has access? Okay. INE, IRSPT 09, Education and Marketing, add the tag. Okay, so that's it. Redirect. I'm going to just try something, and I want you to test it right now. I don't know if this is going to help. I'm just being like a hacker at this point. But if you can go and check it out and see if it works for you now. I just changed something on the tagging, the permissions on that page. And see.
Okay. I'm going to get into it right now. IRSPT. Access to modules.
You may have to log out and then log back in again, though. That's the only thing.
I logged in. No, I don't have access. And it says Module 9, Education Marketing. It has a little black circle with a cross hash mark. So it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. I might be able to temporarily fix it for you, but that means that maybe the logic of you finished one and then that's supposed to trigger you to get the next one. I can't remember if this program
so you know, Cheryl said yes, hers is working. And all I tell you is that in teamwork task, Czar said that there was an Infusionsoft record issue where it wasn't syncing with the site. That's what he did, and that's what fixed it for.
Okay, let me go back in there and see if I can sync it. But that should be
happening. I'll get out of it. So then I can have to, so I can get back in. I'll get into the NEPT, or do I need to get totally out of my NEPT?
So you'd have to get totally out of the NEPT to get it to sync. But let me just look. Let me just look real quick all users. Because if I go to your record in here and I just say sync, I think I can do that. So it's Luisa, L-U-I-S-A, search users. There you are. Are you LMT613? Yeah, you are.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, edit.
Now, let me see. I-N-E. Oops. Okay, I got to totally out. Let me back in.
All right, don't get back in yet. Just give me a second because I'm looking to see. Do you have it now?
No, I got back out because when you said don't get back in, so now I'm getting out.
Okay, you're out now. Okay, good. Changes do not affect text should be used only for local testing. I'm just looking to see if it's INE. Oh, it's not a marketing tag. Oh, there's a lot of tags here. Holy cow, you got a lot of tags. INE member module access. Here we go. IRSPT module 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. No, you don't even have that tag. So there's something happening in where it's supposed to tag you when you finished it. All right. If I, yeah, so we have to look in the back end into Infusionsoft because you don't even have the right tag. And I don't know why.
I've already finished all the way through 8 and I'm just trying to get this done and try to get the certificate.
Yeah,
the certificate done by Shine on this, so that's why I was working on my patients.
Yep, and this one isn't going to impact that because this one you don't really have to finish a test at the end. I don't even think there is a test at the end of it. But the fact is it sounds there's an issue with the tagging, and it may not be just you. Obviously, it may be somebody else as well. So we'll find it.
Great. So yeah, I've created the note for this person to take care of, and as far as everything else, you know, do the tests that you can, make sure your boxes are all checked off, and then go through and do your case studies. And
I've already done all the tests. I have completed all the tests.
Right. So when you go on the INE file uploader, you'll see where it says you get to choose IRSPT, and then certification.
File uploader. Okay. I did.
Which is under your resources.
Okay. Resources. File. Yes. And what I did not finish listening, there was a video on that it said certification. So I haven't heard that yet. So I needed to look to get that organized so I can upload the patient.
Yep. You can upload your video or audio. You take recording of you and your patients as well as your written case studies.
Yep.
Great.
Good for you. I'm glad you finished it up, and we'll figure out what's going on in the back end because it sounds like when you got tagged, When you finish the test on the previous module, it's supposed to tag you to get the next module, and it sounds like maybe that didn't happen.
Okay. Very good. Well,
all right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much. I'm excited about this weekend, and I guess for 1 hour, I'm going to have to be on Laura's group.
Yeah.
And then go
We're
going
to have lunch at that hour, hopefully. So, yeah,
okay,
you'll miss a little bit, but no big deal. There was no other time to do it. And I realized that there was going to be a conflict, but oh well. So we do what we can, right?
No, that's fine. I'll have one on a computer and one on the iPad.
Oh, there you go. You'll do both at the same time. Oh my goodness gracious. The multitasker overachiever. That's you.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you for pointing this out. I'm like my computer science brain is going in and wanting to fix it right now. So I'm going to hold off and I'm going to go on to whatever else is got to, whoever else has questions before I try to fix it. But thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Any other questions? Star 2 on the telephone. I don't see any there. I'm going to go to the Q&A and see if anybody else added any questions there. None there. I'm going to go to the chat. Cheryl said her issue was fixed. All right, I'm gonna go in on Susan and try unmuting you again. Susan, go ahead and say hi. See if you can hear me. See if I can hear you. Oh, and maybe in, I open it. I hear.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You can hear me?
I can.
That's weird because it says I'm muted.
Yeah, there you go. Don't touch it. Something's
I'm not. I've got a circle with a line through it, so, you know, the stop sign. So that is bizarre.
Very bizarre.
Oh.
Weird.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, thank you for the cortisol information, and I'll get on that.
Yeah, and you know, you don't want to be looking at things like, you know, Band-Aids as negative, right? That's because it's counterproductive when you do that, because you said, I know it's a Band-Aid, you got to, but the stuff isn't going to be just Band-Aid, right? Taking coffee is a Band-Aid.
I right? know, and that's what I want to do because I'm accustomed to being productive in the morning.
Right, so try the elixirs, like ashwagandha, you can put cordyceps, put some licorice root in there, play around with your herbs. Look at the different herbs in that booklet right. at the end of Cafe Day and just play around with it and find the one that works for you. I find for me having a little cordyceps, like I have cordyceps hot in hot water with coconut milk. That's amazing for me. Sometimes I put some chocolate in there. Sometimes I just put the chocolate flavor in there just to give me that feeling like I'm drinking hot cocoa. But licorice also. I have to be careful personally with licorice because if I go overboard, because I love the taste of it, I end up getting high blood pressure. So if you do licorice, great. Just monitor your blood pressure. Most likely people with low cortisol in the morning or low adrenal function have low blood pressure anyway. So you just have to watch it.
Mine is on the low side.
Okay.
Okay, and I want, like, the cordyceps, like, how many teaspoons? I mean, how much can I have?
Well, play with it, but start because of, you know, flavor and how you experience it. Start with a half teaspoon. I do a teaspoon. Sometimes I do two or three teaspoons.
Okay, that's kind of what I was wondering.
If it's three, it's been in a huge mug. But two, I've gotten up to two, but half a teaspoon to one teaspoon is probably, and just play with it and see how you feel. I find it super energizing.
Okay. Yep, and I love licorice, and I've actually been having a licorice tea bag, but I don't know if that's enough licorice.
It's not super potent when you do it that way. You could either get the whole licorice pieces from Mountain Rose and simmer it, but you have to simmer it for probably half an hour, and then you'll have it. That's a lot of work. I get the powder, the whole licorice powder, and then I use that with the cordyceps. But you do have to be a little more careful with that because it's easy to overdo when you have that, especially if you like the taste.
I love the taste.
Yeah, me too.
Oh. Okay, cool. And I noticed that Maria said, Dr. Anna Kabeca's Mighty Maca. I am using that.
Yeah. Mighty Maca is good too. Any, like, all of that's listed. Maca is listed in there too. And her maca has a lot of stuff in it. But yeah, keep doing that. Look at that list. See if there's something that jumps out at you. Play around with it. I mean, you've seen my elixir my herb collection, right? You've seen that corner in my kitchen where it's like, and I just have them all, you know, over the years I've acquired them and I just play with them and I see what I really like.
So it's interesting because as I'm talking to you, I'm already doing a lot of that stuff, but I just realized I tend to do it more around lunchtime because I'm fasting in the morning.
Don't worry about it with breaking fasting because if you add the coconut, yeah, okay, that's going to add calories. But if you're fasting in the morning, then just do the drink as if it's coffee, like if it's black coffee.
Okay.
And you could put stevia drops in there for flavor, but that's not going to break your fast or take you out of ketosis or any of the other things you might be trying to do with the fasting in the morning.
All right. So basically, I just need to do what I'm doing, but bump it up to when I get up in the morning instead of waiting till halfway through the day.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about fasting in the morning, right? It may not be for everybody. So see how you feel. I'm not saying to go ahead and have a huge breakfast or anything, but play with that. If you feel more energized by having a green smoothie or a green drink or the Mighty Maca or the elixir, then do it in the morning, right? You can't go ahead with this idea of idealistically what we think we need.
Right. Well, you talked about that sometime recently, and I actually, and what I'm doing right now is I am playing with that. I thought, well, what if I eat breakfast because of this thyroid and adrenal thing? And what if I quit eating at 2?
Yeah. There you go.
So I'm playing with that. Yeah. You know, I'm not quite at 2 o'clock yet.
Well, that takes a little doing.
And then I figure out what to do with the hunger before bed. It's like, you know.
The same thing you do with the hunger in the morning. What do you do when you get hungry in the morning? If you're fasting, you just ignore it.
I know.
I know. And I agree with you. I can't do that.
There's psychological about going to bed hungry. It's definitely just in the head.
It is in the head. Just for some people, it might be more than in the head if they're not able to stabilize.
Well, no, I think for me, it's in the head.
For me, it's in the head, too. It's like, wait a minute, I fast, and I fasted for 5, 10, 28 days in a row. Why is it that I feel like tonight I'm so hungry because I haven't eaten since 4 that I need to eat again? Why? Right? It's all in the head.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just see what Maria's saying. I'm accustomed to working out in the morning, too, but I've been I don't want to say fatigued, but it is kind of a fatigue. I just don't have any gumption to work out in the morning, and then I just don't seem to get to it by the afternoon. So now I'm not even working out regularly.
That'll zap your energy. Yep.
So I've got this whole cycle going that's not working for me that I'm working on correcting. But I think I'm in the right direction. You just have to keep tweaking.
Yeah, and see, maybe it's having an elixir, maybe it's having a green powder so it doesn't weigh you down, and then you feel energized and you can go exercise.
Right. Cool. All right.
Yeah. That's all about this personalization stuff, right? That's why we say, intermittent fasting, this is the way to do it. Well, I'm not feeling so great when I do it, but I'm going to keep doing it because that's what the book said to do. No.
No. Right. And that's funny because I thought, well, isn't this interesting? This is showing up for me just so that I can not be dogmatic with clients.
Exactly.
You know? That's
exactly right.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Thanks.
Good for you. Thank you.
Yep.
Good question. Who else? I don't see any other hands. I'm going to go to Q&A. I don't see anything else in the Q&A. And in the chat, Maria's just kind of echoing, you know, what I've, you know, just try it, right? Try it in the morning. And she said that it helped her a lot. It helped her a bit when she was deep into her adrenal fatigue, having something first thing in the morning. Good. All right. That's a good point, Maria. I never thought of it that way. She said, exercise, I don't know if this is what you were trying to say, but this is how I kind of get stimulated in my brain to think. Adding more stress early in the day to raise your cortisol. So exercising first thing in the morning might actually be something that could help bring that cortisol up. And if you can, I know when I was marathon training, and I don't like to eat before I run, but I was getting up real early in the morning to get my, you know, 20-mile runs in. And I would have a green powder mix about 45 minutes to an hour before I ate, before I went running. And it gave me enough oomph and enough energy to really last me through a 12 to 15 mile run. So we might consider some of that. That's good. Great. All right. I don't see any more there. One last look at the Q&A. I don't see anything there. I don't see any more hands. So thank you guys for being here. Great questions today. We got to get really into some in-depth conversations. I'm going to click on the unmute so everybody's unmuted, and if you guys can.
Can I say something really quick?
Absolutely.
About how wonderful your whole program is. I was talking with somebody yesterday as part of your live stream, and she just recently found out that because she has high platelets, she has the JAK2 gene. and all her doctors said was there's absolutely nothing she can do with nutrition. She has to take these drugs forever. And she looked at the drugs, and the side effects were horrific. And within a short period of time, and of course I told her this is just general information, but I gave her some science studies with different herbal interactions, and then I happened to be also talking to Lynn DiMartini, who had some ideas for homeopathics, but also some food based to lower her platelets. And so within this 30-minute conversation, she went from hopeless to hopeful.
Nice.
And I just wanted to share that because it makes me so grateful for this program and what we can bring to our clients.
Thank you. And you're a great example, Lynn, of that. Really, the more we build the base of what you understand and how the biochemical pathways and the physiologic pathways work in the body, you're a great researcher to begin with. But the more you have to feed on that, you go and you start to think, right? Somebody says, this is happening, and they were told that. And you're going, huh, but that doesn't necessarily. And you just start looking at the underlying mechanisms, and you go, well, what if we try this? What if we try that? That's my goal with everybody. And we do it, you know, in the realm of insulin resistance in the RSPT program. We do it within the realm of digestion in the CMDS. I'm teaching you that thought process. But imagine if you expanded your base and you understood the thyroid as well as you maybe understand insulin resistance, and you understood the adrenals, and you understood the cardiovascular and the reproductive and how it all fits together. You knew how to do functional testing,
right,
and be able to examine and see how those systems are working. It opens up so many doors. I mean, when we started this whole conversation with Cynthia asking about,
right,
this very bizarre, very rare congenital defect, basically, is what it sounds like to me. And we got into all kinds of ways that she could support her client. And it's just by, I don't remember what that disease was, but I went, okay, and I read it, and I go, oh, heart conjunction. Well, we go into that in our cardiovascular,
exactly,
system. What about that? So, you know, you understand that, and you're able to pull this stuff together and help people on such a deep level. So for those of you who are in IRSPT or CMDS, I would, you know, recommend that you set up a time to talk to Lynn or Jan about the full program and what it would take to transition over to that. And, you know, until the end of the year, we're going to give you, it was going to be sooner, but we haven't had the ability to put that in place. But until the end of the year, we'll be able to give you whatever full credit towards whatever you paid or invested in either CMDS, IRSPT, or both towards entering into the full program with us. So we'd love to invite you to do that and get started on that and have at your beck and call, so to speak, the resources to be able to look at all of those modules and all of the different parts of the body. And we need to change the healthcare system out there, guys. It's just, mm-hmm, it's broken so miserably, and we hear so many stories of people getting bad advice, incomplete advice. Right.
Incomplete,
and I want,
definitely,
change. And if the doctors would just start thinking functionally, thinking, how do we supply the body with what it needs and get the stuff out of the body that's getting in the way? And if we could just make that shift in mindset and then have the tools and access to the education we need to do that. Wow. I mean, we're changing lives, we're changing the world, and it's just so heartwarming to hear the stories from people about the people that they're helping. And for me to see that in our Energy Recharge Inner Circle, which is where we take about 50 people a year. We're probably going to start opening it up twice a year, and then if that works, more frequently than that. But where we take people in for a year and we coach them through everything that's going on, and that the people in the NEPT program, the Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training, get to be coaches for those. That's like your internship, that you get to be coaches for people in this year-long program, and you get to see the wide gambit of what's getting in people's way. You know, sometimes it's the advice of their doctors and that they are brainwashed into thinking a certain way. Sometimes it's lack of self-esteem. Sometimes it's not having a big enough why. And sometimes it's eating bonbons at 11 o'clock at night, or, you know, pigging out on ice cream. And you guys will have the skills to be able to dig deep, regardless of what that is. It's obvious when somebody's eating ice cream late at night and they're gaining weight and they have insulin resistance. It's not so obvious when they're drinking green smoothies and eating really well that maybe some of that underlying is genetics or an imbalance in gut flora or, you know, an adrenal fatigue or whatever else, and being able to dig right in and help them. So that's my goal. For those of you who are not signed up for Saturday, it's foodandgenes.com, and it's going to be Saturday and Sunday. It's a two-day event, and it's going to be just bang up similar to going to our Spring Into Vitality event. But the fact that we're really tying in the genes is, I think, the fun part for me, and it's a real big draw for people. And then in November, and you guys all have a free bonus ticket to come to this, Shine, so check your email. I think one of them emails went out today to remind you to do that. And it's going to be about outsmarting genetics. And I just want you to know that learning that stuff is going to be so important for you in your practice, because let me tell you, every time I throw out the genes word in a subject line, in a blog post, in a Facebook post, the masses are jumping in. And so if you're able to really help support people by not just saying, oh, you have this gene, take this supplement, like a lot of folks out there are doing. No, you're able to help them to really develop a diet lifestyle program that's consistent enough with their genes that they can outsmart their genetics. So just throwing out a couple of shameless plugs, but I absolutely love the program. I love the people that we attract into it. And if it calls to you, just reach out to Lynn and have a conversation to see if it's a good fit for you. All right. Anybody else? Last chance? Any other comments or? Susan L. says, I'm pretty sure my son will be joining me at Shine this year. Yay. Cheryl says, thank you, Dr. Enri, I love this class. Yay. Susan says, NEPT is amazing. Yay. Thank you. You guys are amazing, too. So I'm going to open up your lines so you can say goodbye to each other. And
remember, what's the problem?
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye, Dr. Enri.
Thank you, everybody.